All right, y'all. Welcome back to Two Song Podcast. This is Chris.
And this is Cam.
And this is a music show where we try and force every song ever into one of two categories, either a love song
or a fight song.
That's right. And this is episode 23. And we're excited about this one. This is going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah, this is by a band that I am definitely obsessed with and have been for a couple of years now. That intro that you heard was for Homeboy by Susto, and is the first track on their 2019 album, Ever Since I Lost My Mind.
Heck yeah. And there's no band quite like them that I've ever heard. And they have this awesome sound. And dude, I just got to say, I am Susto excited to do this one. So, all right. Anyway, I'm going to cut that out. But for real, this song is so much fun and so weird, but in a good way, and kind of confusing. And, well, what about this intro? Does this intro remind you of anything? Like, does it sound familiar? Or we talked about this before. We may have already talked about this, just the two of us.
I don't know if we did, but it definitely does remind me of something. I can't exactly place it. It feels very like Spanish to me or something.
Yeah, it does kind of have like a little bit of a Latin music feel. But to me, I don't know why, but I hear like two things simultaneously, and maybe that's why it's so fun, is I can get a little bit of Angelus from Elliott Smith, like the way there's like that kind of fast finger picking, and then it sounds like, and there's a, I don't know, there's like a creepy, like quiet, high-pitched sound, kind of like something from a thriller movie soundtrack. It's almost like, I don't, like, if there was someone playing a violin on the other side of a foot of ice. Like, it just sounds really far away and really chilled and really creepy. And then I also, I hate this, but I also hear Tribute by Tenacious D. Like, it sounds like a very similar chord and, like, pattern.
Yeah. Dang, that's cool. I couldn't place any of those, but that, it does. Does have that same feel, especially for a tribute.
That's really cool. It's awesome of an intro as it is, just kind of laid back, and there's like this rhythmic acoustic guitar. Like, how unfair to start the song that way, considering everything else that's about to come.
Yeah, for real. It changes a lot. So, do we want to hear some more?
Yeah, what if we play this first verse?
Cool, let's hear it.
Homeboy of mine, it's time, says he's moving to Los Angeles. He can't go out in town without these people start to panic. You know that he
You know what? I want to say one thing. Remember how we were talking about how fascinating the structure of songs can be and how there's no real way to make a song?
Yeah, yeah. Last week, I think.
Yeah, on last episode. So this one right here is what some, I don't know how to describe it, like it's more indie music will do, where you don't get to the chorus until after two verses.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite song structures. Like, I think if I was going to write a song right now, that's how I would structure it.
Yeah, I love that too, because it's like we get what we think the song has to offer, and then you almost hold back on that really good part. Like, you delay that gratification, and as long as the chorus isn't stingy, like as long as the songwriter and the performance isn't like withholding of enough repetition of the chorus, and it's like so good to wait until it's almost like when like one instrument lays out until a really dramatic part. Like, to me, that's kind of like what this song does with the chorus.
Yeah. I've also been thinking lately that, you know you have a good chorus if, like, if you're listening to a song with this structure, and after the first verse, you like you want the chorus, so it has to be obviously a song that you're familiar with, but it's I think they do it on purpose to like make you be expecting it and like wanting the chorus.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they do. And I feel like for anybody that really likes music, you repeat songs you're familiar with because they're fun or because they, you know, invoke a certain emotion. I don't think that the average music enthusiast hears a great song with a great chorus and is like, well, I hope I find another one of those somewhere along the way in my life because I'm not going back and listening to it. You know, I think most people like will replay a song if it's good.
Oh, yeah. I know that I do. Maybe too much, but I think you're right. I think most people repeat a lot.
Yeah. And then how about the way, like, these lines in this verse don't really rhyme necessarily, but they still, like, they just line up so well. I don't know. I love these lyrics, and there's not many of these lyrics, but I think they're so good and so, like, I don't know, so well written.
Yeah, I agree. They're also like, it's also syncopated in a really cool way. I think that's the right word. The rhythm of the lyrics pairs so well with this, the guitar that's going on early in the song here, that acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And I guess, yeah, syncopated is the right word. Like, 'cause the bass line is like some kind of asymmetrical pattern. So it's not really playing on the beat. Or it's like, I think the way I hear it is like a dotted rhythm, which is like maybe too technical and boring, but it's like it plays on the beat, then off, then on the beat, then off, which makes it feel weird and driving. Kind of like you were saying, like it's just got a good rhythm and a good like cadence.
Yeah. And you're right. There aren't a lot of lyrics for the whole song.
Yeah, it's short. I forget that. I guess because there's a few little musical parts, like jammy parts, mm-hmm. and the song is not necessarily short. It's not that long either, but it doesn't, like, you wouldn't know from looking at just a printout or just reading the lyrics, having them read to you, that this was a song that was almost 4 minutes.
Yeah, seriously.
And then what about this? Like, there's a little pre-chorus where he says, you know that he is a friend of mine and man, I'm gonna miss him, and like the music kind of builds and swells and changes a little bit, and it's like, wait, what was that little part? And like the first time you're hearing this song, you might think like, oh, well, is that the chorus? Because this very well could be like a indie rock art piece where you don't get a full good chorus, but it's neat that he chose to do verse, pre-chorus, verse, pre-chorus, and then finally give us the chorus. I think that's really cool. And the pre-choruses are different.
Yeah, that is really cool. And this pre-chorus is a lot different from the verse. Like, it's thematically tied to it. You're just talking about that same the same character. But rhythmically, it's like it's slow. It starts slowing it down a bit.
He sings the pre-chorus a little bit more, like a more varied melody, and it's like more stretched out.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you want to move on to the second verse, especially that one's kind of short, and so is this next one.
Yeah. It kind of switches characters now, but it matches that first verse, but yeah, let's hear it.
Homegirl of mine, she's fine, yeah. She moved to Buenos Aires to live and paint and eat and drink and brush up on her Spanish. She's got a right-minded brain. Now I'm feeling manic.
Goodness, I freaking love the way he like sings this song, and I love the way it's like so simple that he can just talk about just this one character and this one place, and then just another character and coincidentally this other place. It's just like, man, this song is incredible.
Yeah, and he picked some cool places too that just sound cool and are fun to sing. Like I love the second verse. And there's just so many like fun phrases that are fun to sing along with. Like, she moved to Buenos Aires, and, I can never exactly get all these words in the right order, but, to live and paint and eat and drink and brush up on her Spanish. I love that line so much.
Yeah, I do too. I hope he's proud of that line, because that's like one of those things. It's not quite a tongue twister, but in a song, like trying to sing along and like get all the notes like in the melody right, and to try and, like you said, not trip over the words, you know, to not like, let's see, to eat and paint. Oh, I already messed up. To paint and eat and drink and, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that is just so fun to do, and it's so awesome of a feeling when you get it right.
Yeah. This verse also starts to really build, you know, we're getting ready for that chorus and the musical interlude that happens before the chorus. And then this verse really builds you up for that.
Yeah, it does. I'm glad you said that, because the parts transition and are kind of like a little on top of each other. So whenever we do get to that, I think maybe what we should do is replay the end so that the chorus has like its full effect, because it's, you know, breaking it up like we're doing, you like lose some of that.
Yeah. And we hope that y'all have listened to the song ahead of time as well, so you get a good feel for it while we're talking about it.
Yes, true. We definitely do. But how about this? It's so cool that he's talking about, and it's not like, it's crazy because there's no judgment really. It's just a comment on people's mental state. Like, you know, she's got a right-minded brain, and then we assume the narrator's feeling manic. It's just like, just so you know, like, these are the places, this is why. And I don't know, it's just cool. It's almost like this person is like a little bit emotional about things, but also not at the same time, kind of laid back, just like telling us, like, I'm gonna miss my friend. And then in the second verse, this character moved away, I'm feeling manic. But it's almost like by the time the lyrics come out, they're kind of cold and emotionless, because he just, like I said, says it matter of fact.
Yeah. And it also says a lot about a person without having to say very much, which is always good in songwriting.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. It does, doesn't it? That reminds me of something I was going to ask you. When, like, these verses have the little mine and fine, and this one and mine and time, and the one before. Did you think what I thought about, like, homegirl of mine, she's fine? Did you think about that, like, you know, like the kind of dated thing, like, that people don't really use anymore, but they're being attractive? Or did you think about, like, she's fine as in she's okay, she's doesn't need, like, any help, doesn't need any, like, doesn't need anything?
The latter, actually. I think at least just listening to it, I always think like she's okay.
Yeah, it's crazy because I don't know why, but the way it's like, homegirl of mine, she's fine. Yeah, I feel like it almost seems like you could be like, oh really, people still like call girls fine? That's stupid, you know. But I'm the same way. Like, the fact that he is about to say. I don't know, it's just like the character from the first verse moved away. So like whenever it's like homegirl of mine, mm-hmm. she's fine. I assumed the first time I heard it, she was about to move too, believe it or not. And then I was like what you said, maybe she's okay. Like, I'm going to tell you about a person that's going to move away, but I want you to know up front, they're okay. And then like he builds that out in that next line that you talked about, like live and paint and eat and drink. Like these are all the, like mm-hmm. she needs nothing else. That's all she needs and is these like essentials.
Yeah. And I think there's also just something about the way he says it, that it doesn't, it seems very platonic, and like homegirl is also a pretty platonic label for a friend.
Yeah, you're right.
And also I hadn't really paid much attention to this, but you know, it says the he from the first verse, the guy says he's moving to Los Angeles, and then for she in this verse, she moved to Buenos Aires.
Oh man, that's a good point. Wow. See, that's how much I was just into everything else in this song. I was just so dumb. I was just like, yeah, they both moved, but not necessarily. You know, the guy from hypothetically LA could never have gone. You know, he could have been one of those people that says that. Like, yeah, I'm probably gonna move to New York. I need to do that for my career. I'd move to Los Angeles, you know, do that. And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, man, you ain't going to LA.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, how about we get to the chorus and then like play those chords right before it that like swell up and like you said, build up to the chorus.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Man, totally worth the wait.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, maybe it's more like when you know you got a good chorus, you just save it for after a couple of verses, you know. Maybe that's a better way to say what I was trying to say earlier.
Yeah, well, yeah. I kind of like got that though from what you were saying, but yeah, I think you're right. That's what it was. It was like we're going to, you know, make it worth the wait. Dude, this chorus is like, I don't know, it's like familiar, but at the same time, it's unlike anything else. Like to me, the guitar, the way the guitar just like hits you, like it just hits you in the ears and takes up like all the space in between your ears, or at least it does mine in a good way. It kind of reminds me of like 90s, like mid 90s, maybe Bush or somebody like that, that just used those chords with a tone where it's like no treble whatsoever, like no high sounds allowed, just these big blurry like walls of sound. I think it's so good, and it's like it's not overdone because you can like tell the distinct like pattern of the guitar part. So cool.
Yeah, it sounds so good to my ears too. Like when I first sent you the song, I was trying to figure out, like, how does he get this sound with his guitar? Like, how can I make my guitar sound like this? And you gave me a couple good options, but it just is a very filling sound, or maybe even fulfilling. And they just, I don't know, it's also, like, seems so effortless, too. Like, it's just, like, one strum and just let it ring and like sing a line and then just strum another chord and just let it ring out. So cool to me.
Yeah, I know. Me too. You can get mad at me for saying this, but it is all of those things. It's a very filling sound. It's a very fulfilling sound. And I think it's also a very full sound. So, you're welcome. But yeah, it's like that kind of distortion that you can like lean against. I mean, it just, I don't know that it is, but it sounds like a wall of amplifiers. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And some interesting lyrics too.
Yeah, I was going to comment on the lyrics too. It's almost like the first little bit of the chorus, it to me is pretty obvious. Like his friends trying to move to, you know, where all the people that, you know, want to be celebrities, that want to panic people by going out in public go. And then the other friend is going to, it did move to Buenos Aires. So it's like, you want a new life? Like these people in my song? Well, I'm going to have one too. I'm going to try and like have a new life too.
Mm-hmm. And then there's another character introduced, you know, the you from the chorus.
Yeah, that's interesting. I noticed that too. Like I really so far don't think I'm convinced I know what it is. I have a theory, but it's definitely an interesting usage of that pronoun you.
Yeah, and kind of a strange line to tropical fountain, I want to dive back into you. Like, it seems like there's so much more there that I want to know about.
Yeah, I know, same here. I know a lot of songwriters that I've like looked up interviews and stuff about, they will admit to putting inside jokes in their songs. And I don't know if it's something about once you have an audience of any size that people ask you like, well, what was that inside joke? Don't leave us in the dark. Or, you know, a lot of really good songwriters are kind of narcissists, seems like. So eventually many of those, if not all of those inside jokes that I found myself wondering about come out. But it's like this one, whatever that reference is, I feel like I'm right there with you that it's kind of lost on me.
Yeah, but like we've already said, it at least sounds really cool.
Yeah, you're right. It definitely does.
And then kind of echoes just the same idea, but I want to spend more time with you. And then I do. I like his voice a lot. You've kind of mentioned it a couple times in this song, but it's like, it seems like he's trying really hard, also not trying very much at the same time. I don't know how that works, but.
No, I get that. He definitely seems like he just has this great sounding, like tough voice. And he may, like, I think we talked about this couple times before, is such a gifted singer that he can emulate that lack of technique, but I don't think it is an actual lack of technique. I think that it's just a tone or a style of singing.
Yeah, that's very well said.
But dude, I'm with you though. I love his voice. Like, it sounds so tough and it sounds so manly, and I like that he, and you know, I love like all good singing, I really do, but I just for some reason every now and then am so excited to find a man that sings with a low voice. I just love it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that every once in a while, like, wish that you had someone's voice, like, wish you could sing like someone.
I probably have thought that or felt that, but I usually just am like, I wish I could sing, period, and just stop right there, you know?
Yeah, me too. But I also often wish that I could sing like this guy from Susto. It's just such a cool sound. One word that you didn't use that I connect with his voice a lot is like gritty.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Definitely has a ton of grit. And then the next little bit is so freaking good in its own way. It's a little bit of like guitar show off action, just a little bit of like play in, like a little interlude. And then there is a part that I want to run into because you know me well enough to know what I'm about to say, that this is the best part of the song coming up.
Yeah, all right.
Man, that, what a, like, brave, bold, like, eccentric choice to do that. Just the music stops out and the drums play this thing that sounds like, man, I don't know, it sounds almost like an old-timey, like, invention fell down some stairs, or it sounds like someone dropped two bowling balls of differing weights down like a short flight of steps.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that as a drummer. Like, it does sound very chaotic, but has to be intentional and, you know, ideally recreatable in a live setting.
Oh my gosh, I know. Oh wow, can you imagine trying to do that live?
No.
And then to me, the scariest part is the band has to catch you. Like, you're just an acrobat or like a stuntman just out there. And then the band has to like come in on purpose and not make it look like you messed up. Or like, wait, what the drummer did sounded kind of weird. Did he mess up? Did the bass player mess up? Did they all mess up? Like, what just happened? But that is like so cool to me. Before that, though, is this neat, like, snake charmer riff. It's like a little bit of slow motion, like, guitar solo, kind of. Just these really moody notes. And it's cool because it's, like, two guitar parts at once. And y'all are going to get tired of us always saying this, but for real, headphones. I mean it. The two parts, like, harmonize. Even though they sound really similar, they play a lot of the same notes. But there are a couple places where they diverge, and you can hear one in one ear and one in the other. And to me, that's just like a little extra that they did not have to do for us.
Yeah, it is really, really impressive. And yeah, like Christopher said, I always make sure, like, I listen to it probably before we do an episode, probably in the car. And definitely in my, like, earbuds. But then at least once in, like, some good over-the-ear headphones that I like, know have a good sound. And I just want to be sure that I, like, fully take in everything that's in a song before we talk about it. And this song has a lot of just little subtleties in this recording that make it really cool.
Yeah, I agree. This is a really fun one to try and, like, find all the stuff. I don't know. It's like it sounds like its own little world. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's replay that awesome part and then let it finish and, like, do that, this third and last verse.
Cool. Okay. Homeboy of mine, I'm fine, yeah, but you know it's been a long time.
My goodness. Jeez, yeah, like, each verse to me is, like, more likable than the last one, like, for different reasons. I still love the really, like, hectic line about all the things that his homegirls are going to do in Buenos Aires, but I just, like, that verse to me has so many, it's just such an honest verse. Like, he finally, like, he talks about his two friends, and he finally, like, is honest with us about himself. So cool.
Yeah, for real. And I think him saying, I'm fine, also kind of confirms that he was using that word this to mean the same thing as he did in the second verse. So I think we were right.
Yeah, you're right. I think so too. Yeah. And it's like really balanced because the character from the second verse has got a right-minded brain. And then he admits, like, I've got a left-minded brain. But it's so cool because, like, he was feeling manic before and here, and I think I'm about to lose mine.
And what a cool last line of a verse. And it, like you said, a cool progression from feeling a bit manic to I'm about to lose my mind.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of like cool and like ominous. I don't know. It's neat.
And I don't know, just to like choose to say mine is, I mean, just the perfect choice, obviously. And fits with like the rhyme of that final verse too.
Yeah, you're right, it does. Well, I don't know, like, if this is true, but you probably heard this growing up, like I did. But supposedly the left brain is like a little bit more analytical, a little bit more verbal, and I don't know. Is it like more the science kind of brain, maybe? And then the right brain is supposedly the opposite. It's like more about feelings and more into like imagination and the arts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he's calling himself like less, I mean the character, you know, the narrator, that which could be the songwriter, could also, you know, it could not be. But he's saying, like, I don't know, it almost makes the thing about since I've been down in town on my own dime a little bit more like calculated and kind of mean and like taking advantage of people. A little bit. I'm not saying that it's it could be for any reason, but just the fact of like the person from the second verse is going to do all these things that are like more like thought of as good for the soul, you know, like learn foreign language or practice your foreign language skills and paint and drink and eat good food. You know, I'm sure they have delicious food in Argentina. And then he's talking about, I don't know, he's more comparing himself to like the person from the first verse, like the guy who goes out in public and people panic. And here he is going out in town on the, you know, not on his own dime. It's so interesting to me.
Yeah. It always reminds me of Bo Burnham's bit from his Make Happy special. Because he makes a character out of each side of his brain, and it's kind of like one versus the other.
Oh, that's right. He does. I forgot about that bit or that song. Yeah, you're right. And then after like wrapping up all the like main story, then they get like right back to that awesome chorus.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Man, still so good. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, it feels almost chaotic, even though it's not, you know?
No, it definitely does. You're right.
I feel like this song just has a very chaotic sound to it.
Yeah, no, that's cool to be able to harness that, you know, because like we talked about, it has to be calculated. They have to have left it in on purpose, but it just like definitely gives off that tone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's awesome because he, you know, like he'll like put the yes on the, like the second verse, like, you know, the homegirl moves, she's fine, yeah. And then homeboy might have fine, yeah. And then here he like gives a different one. It's like a really like excited, like rebel yell kind of yeah.
Oh yeah. And you know we love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we do.
Like, he's into it. He's having a good time, and we like mm-hmm. to hear that.
Yeah, we definitely do. And then this next little bit is like a musical, like, bridge to get us from one section to the other. And it, like, it's even a more, like, different tone than we've ever heard in the song. It's like a little, like, I don't know, like a thin, cheap tone or like worn out tone on purpose. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Man, that is like, I mean, just like wide open energy. Like the drums are doing this different part they've never done. And that part sounds like the guitar sounds like a cheap radio or a small amplifier. Just like,
There's a cool contrast to what we called a wall of amplifiers earlier.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're right. It definitely is, isn't it? That's cool.
Yeah. And you're right, it does remind me of that little almost toy Fender amp that you have. I'm sorry if that's offensive to call it a toy, but you know what I'm talking about. That's like, can be powered by a 9-volt, is that right?
Oh, yeah, yep.
We've made some funky sounds out of that thing before, and this kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, it definitely could be. And I've heard like stories and like urban legends or whatever you want to call them about like recording artists and bands and songwriters doing that, like using a really, really cheap, junky almost amplifier and then a really expensive microphone to like balance out and make sure that they pick up all of the characteristics of that intentionally junky amp.
Whoa, that's cool.
But it definitely does sound like that. Maybe like to give us a, because I mean, we love the chorus and we love the way it sounds, but maybe they were thinking like, not everybody's going to want to hear the chorus. Maybe they don't even want to hear like the guitar of the chorus after a certain point of like rehearsing it and playing it live. So they give us like, they give us like almost a treble that we've been missing from the chorus the whole time. And then they like break it apart a little bit for that section. And then they come back to the chorus this one more time.
You want a new life? Well, I think I'll have one too. Tropical fountain, I wanna dive back in you. I do.
Jeez. And then he like, doesn't he show off a little bit on that chorus? Like we're talking about how tough his voice is and how much grit. And then we find out he's got a little bit more left in the tank right there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know how you were talking about we love whenever it seems genuine, it seems obvious that a performer's having a good time, like getting really into it?
Yeah.
I also love to hear whenever someone like is so into their own melody, and not in a narcissistic way or like self-obsessed way, but such a way where they're like, oh man, this little part right here, I can like give it more. Like I can take the melody up a little bit here. And it's so cool to like see a really good singer like lift something a whole octave or lift something to like an interesting like counter melody or harmony part. And that's what he does here. He sings like the first little bit of the chorus. Well, the first little bit is like almost a cappella. There's like a little acoustic guitar. It drops out a cappella. And then the like dive back into you part, he like takes that up higher than we've heard it ever before.
You know, as we've talked about already in this, talking about this song, we both wish that we could sing. So as a couple guys that don't have much of a singing voice, to see someone just do this is always so impressive. Just like, oh yeah, you liked that melody, well watch what I can do with it. It's incredible.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good way to explain it. That is kind of almost exactly what it is. Like, this is just, like, singers are just, that's just their instrument. And maybe, like, they can play, like, multiple instruments, but, like, that's one of their instruments, and they're just so good and so comfortable with it. It would be just like a, you know, wind instrumentalist changing up, like, I'm pressing different keys, or a guitarist, like, finding a different fret that still works.
Yeah. He has another line in this album. I am just a singer with an electric guitar in my hand, and I always love that line. And it seems applicable here. It's because he clearly thinks of himself as a singer first, based on that line.
That's cool. I'm always interested to notice like stuff like that, where a multi-instrumentalist like gives away which one they favor. It's like so cool to me.
Yeah. And I just looked at the track list, and it's actually this song we're talking about, Homeboy, is the first track, and then If I Was is the one that I just referenced, and it's number two.
Oh, wow, that's cool. So yeah, a little extra, go and listen to that song, like, after you have listened to Homeboy and this, then go do both.
Yeah, in headphones.
Yeah, definitely got to.
Do we have like a musical outro left? Do we want to hear that?
Yep, that's the last little bit. It's like really the whole rest of the song, about 30 to 40 seconds or so, is just this neat outro where they're kind of like letting all the electric guitars go nuts.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Man, isn't that cool? Just like so erratic and chaotic, like you said before.
Yeah, it's a very, very fitting outro for the song.
My favorite little part is where it sounds like the guitar riff. I don't know if they did this in post or they had someone like do it on the fly, but it's like the guitar riff and then they mess with the timing of it. So it does that. I don't know, it sounds like some kind of firework. Like a Roman candle or something, like whizzing through the air, but it just sounds like, it doesn't sound like a guitar. I mean, I've heard people do that, so I'm sure that's what it is, but it's like, I just like when that little thing sounds like an electric gizmo or something that like goes crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's such a cool sound. That like you don't really expect a guitar to make.
No, not at all. And I mean, I wouldn't want to listen to a whole song or a whole album of like noises like that. And some people might, I do not,
yeah.
But it's cool to like, have one like artistically. It's just neat to have it in the palette to like throw in right there at that little outro.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Man, but this is such a cool song. Like I'm so glad that you showed me this band and this album. Because this is one of my favorite songs right now.
Dang, that's cool. Makes me feel good. Can we just do songs that I pick from now on?
Yeah, I guess so. That would actually, yeah, that would help me out a lot. You just like provide the songs and then I'll just, and a lot of times it might be ones I've never heard before, which would be kind of cool, kind of fun. Yeah, let's go with that.
I've seen these guys live and they carry this chaotic but controlled sound to a live setting so well. I actually saw them here in Macon in our Capitol Theater, and it was such a good show. And I've also seen the frontman of Susto do Susto Stories, which is just him performing with an acoustic guitar and talking about more of the origin, the songwriting process for songs. And that show was just as impressive almost. And I think he also writes most of the music. But he spent a lot of time in Cuba, I think, and just told a lot of cool stories. A lot of songs were inspired by while he was living in Cuba.
Wow, that's cool. That's really neat.
Dang. So we mentioned like the guitar in the beginning sounding kind of Latin. I think that explained a lot of it. He has a song on this album that's completely in Spanish as well.
Oh, cool. I don't know if I remember that one. That's neat.
All right. So are we, you think we're ready to call it? I think I made you go first last time.
Yep.
You can go first again if you want.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you. I think I am ready to go first, but this is a tricky one. I'm very conflicted. I'm not going to say that I struggle with it. I struggle with myself. I actually went back and listened to a song that we did earlier from our very first episode just so that I could make sure that I wasn't being inconsistent. Like, I hate when people are inconsistent and they don't have a good reason. Like, if you can distinguish why, that's fine. But just to not keep the same energy just because is so annoying to me. So I really wanted to be sure that I was sure about this one. And I think that I am. I think I'm ready. What, I guess the way I read this song, maybe I'm like making too much of it or trying to put too much into it that's not there. But it sounds to me like one of these, and they're not very common, but it's kind of obvious why they're not. But it sounds like one of these secret, covert songs that is like a subliminal middle finger to the entertainment industry or to the music industry. It's like this part about he's going to Los Angeles, you know, because when he goes out, people panic. And then this person in the second verse wants like a different life, like a simpler life. And then at the end, he's talking about he has almost gotten used to not going downtown on his own dime. And I said the beginning of the song reminded me of a song called Angeles by Elliott Smith. I think maybe because it says the city that Angeles is named after, Los Angeles. And then also this line right here at the end, because in Elliott Smith's song, he says, picking up the ticket shows there's money to be made. And every verse of that song is an artistic way of explaining how music industry execs court new talent. Like, one references someone's always trailing some new kill. And then the third references says, I've seen your picture on $100 bill. Saying that these guys are like all the same. They're all about the money. They're all about finding the next thing that's gonna upset the market so they can, you know, be the agent for that person and get rich. So I think based on that, and again, that may be a total misreading of the song. It may not be about that at all. But I think based on the way I interpret the song and the way that he can't like not mention starting to panic and missing this person and feeling manic and about to lose his mind and stuff, coupled with the way it's so loud and busy and gritty, I think I am convinced that it is a fight song, I think.
I like to hear that you're unsure, or that, you know, you said that you think, because usually you're pretty sure.
You're right.
Pretty confident. But I've found this one rather difficult as well. If I was only taking into account the lyrics, I think I would say love song. But as a whole, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to call this one a fight song as well. I just don't think you can have these like two electric guitars that are battling each other, basically. And then the drums for this song, in a love song. Like, there was a while when trying to decide for this one where I thought, man, this is like the hardest love song ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if it is a love song, then it's the hardest rockin' love song around. But I'm gonna go with Fight Song. And I like your take on it. This is kind of the guess that you said you had earlier in the episode for some of the lyrics. But I think that's a really good take on it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad. I mean, and again, might be totally wrong. But I think you're exactly right. You don't do these drums and like the specific guitar and the grid of the vocals in a love song.
Yeah. And Susto has a lot of love songs. I don't think this is one of them. And really the only lyrics that kind of point to that are in the chorus, where he's singing like to you.
Well, there we go. Cam is the Susto expert, and I am the guy that will read too much into a song if you ever want that. But we are saying Fight Song on this one.
That's right. Well said. And we'd love to hear your opinion. So let us know if you agree with us that it's a Fight Song, or if you think that it is the hardest rockin' love song.
Yeah, exactly. As always, we would love to know what y'all think. And I know last time we talked about we should challenge ourselves to find a duet that wasn't a love song, man and a woman singing. That wasn't. And we believe we may have found one. So that we think it's not a love song, but we will see. We'll examine it for you to listen. And we're not going to tell you the song because we think it'll be cool for people to try and figure out which one it is. But we will tell you the band. Cam will at least tell you who the group is.
That's right. And I guessed last week that this band would have one. So it is a Shovels and Ropes song. We just want y'all to see if y'all can find it as well. So check out Shovels and Rope. And so we want y'all to reach out to us on social media and let us know if you think you can find the Shovels and Rope song that we're going to do for our next episode.
Yeah, exactly. Be like a fun little challenge or scavenger hunt or something like that.
Exactly. If you can't tell, we really want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So leave us a review if you'd like to suggest a song. And then, as always, put that title of the song in the review. Follow Cam's playlist on Spotify so you keep up with all of the songs that we've done, all the episodes. And find us on social if you want to. On Instagram, we'll leave all of that stuff in the show notes so you can click on it easily.
That's right. And thank you all for listening.
Yep. Thank you all so much.
Again, Christopher, thanks for calling, and it's good to talk to you. Thanks for coming up with the idea for this show.
Yeah, man. Thanks to you too. Thanks for picking this one. This is a really good one.
Yeah. Thanks, man.